Welcome to Giving an Answer, the show dedicated to defending the historic Christian faith. I am your host, Harold Felder, and today the topic is Rastafarianism. And to talk about this with me, I have Dwight Knight, and let me tell you about Dwight. Dwight is executive director of Challenge Ministries. He's an international speaker. He was just telling me he's spoken to like 70 countries, and I was telling him I didn't even know there were 70 countries. And he's also a pastor of University Bible Fellowship in Detroit, Michigan. I just happened to get Dwight in the studio. He's here to speak at a conference. Matter of fact, we're both speaking at a conference. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be speaking on a topic of what, Nation of Islam, Nation and I'm going to be speaking on Word of Faith. And so I was able to get you in the studio, and I'm glad that I was able to get you in the studio. Could you tell us a little bit about your ministry?
Challenge Ministries focuses on discipleship and preparing young men to, with an apologetic worldview, defend the faith and accurately live out the faith of Christ. And that process of discipleship is one that has several phases of ways we do it, but mostly it's personal contact that I take guys in for a couple of years, and I try to pour my life into them.
Wow. That's great, because that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, right, you know? Right.
But here's something else. I heard you speak a couple of times now. Mm-hmm. Now, the first time I heard you speak, at the end of the talk, you were talking to someone, you were having a conversation with someone else, and you made a comment that you're from a big family.
Right.
Now, how big is your family?
I am the third of 21 brothers and sisters.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's another thing that amazed me about that. Is that you're a big guy.
Yeah.
All right, how big are you?
I'm 6'4".
Okay. And you were telling me, or the person you were talking to, that you're not big in your family.
Oh, no. By no means. I have aunts that are 2 and 3 inches taller than me.
I just find that amazing.
Oh, yeah. My grandmother was 6'9".
What?
My grandmother was 6'9".
Oh, my goodness. You know, because when I heard you say that, the first thing that popped in my mind was, I'm not inviting them over if that's going to go. But I just found that interesting.
Yeah.
So I guess we can get to the topic now. How did you get involved in this topic of Rastafarianism?
I was discipling several young men from New York City. And the success of this one particular guy caused his parents to come over and say, hey, we have another son that's not following the Christian faith we want. He's into Rastafarianism. And I began to talk with him, and I found that while I had a Christian worldview, of course, his view was a mixture of Christianity and social and geopolitical ideas. And then when he voiced it for what it was, I understood that what he was following was a sect or an offshoot of a Afrocentric pseudo-Christian idea that we call Rastafarianism. And it caused me to be able to win him and to approach him in an intellectual way where it wasn't just all him dialoguing. I had to find out where he was coming from, so I began to do my research. And after that, and the success I had with him, other people from Jamaican descent, when I would go down to Jamaica, I would go to Jamaica sometimes 2 or 3 times a year. I'd say, would you speak to my son? Could you talk to my brother? So on and so forth. And I earned a kind of respect in Jamaica and Kingston from that, and had a great deal of conversation and interplay with people of that particular belief.
Okay, so what is Rastafarianism?
Rastafarianism, a lot of people think that Rastafarianism is a religion. Now, I know that we have few terms that will fit. We either say religion or philosophy. A philosophy, in my definition, is a manageable world and life view, okay, that people select to make life easier for them. Whereas religion is a following of a faith or a set of beliefs that incorporate how we live here will determine our afterlife. Rastafarianism is kind of a merger of both. I would call it a geopolitical system that has religious overtones. It incorporates pieces of teaching from the Bible with social situations, and definitely with an Afrocentric worldview. Africa is the Mother Earth, and that is the plan. It has a stemming constancy that is always looking back to Africa as its roots, because those who are Rastafari believe that they are the original black people are the original tribes of Israel, 12 tribes of Israel, with a focus on the nation or the tribe of Judah.
Okay, so give us the history of Rastafarianism.
back in around late 1920s, you know, in America, blacks were basically disenfranchised, not just America, but in the Caribbean islands also, especially in Jamaica. Here's people who are just a generation or two away from slavery. And being free to a degree, there is this movement propagated by a very sound and very devout Christian man by the name of Marcus Garvey. A lot of people think that Marcus Garvey is the father of Rastafari, and he's not. But he did have a back to Africa mentality where he was trying to unite black people to say, don't lose your roots. You have a homeland, you have a culture, you have a language and a people. His thrust in that was very strong, but he never, ever denounced his faith in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in one of the largest gatherings before he died, he spoke about his belief in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the fact that he was a believer of the Nicene Creed, that Jesus Christ died for his sins, and he loved him as a personal Lord and Savior. Marcus Garvey was a very devout Christian. However, when Marcus Garvey, the Rastafari believed that Marcus Garvey was a prophet second only to John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. On November 2nd, Haile Selassie the first was crowned Rastafari, okay? And that was the day that a lot of blacks, especially those of Jamaica, saw as the day that was a fulfillment of prophecy. And that fulfillment of prophecy was out of Second Edras, out of the Apocrypha, chapter 7. And they're saying, because of that, this man is now, ready for this, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is the Lord of the Second Advent. He is the return of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Okay? They gave him divine honors. Now, what's important about that is that he constantly denounced that idea. Haile Selassie said, I am not Jesus Christ and I am not God. Well, as a response to that, the Rastafari said, well, only God would say he wasn't. that was their response to that. He's just trying to be humble.
Okay. But why did they do this? Why did they elevate him like that?
His teaching, the fact that he was a king of a major country in Africa, Ethiopia, that was him resuming his rightful role as the Lion of Judah. Okay. Now, with that came a whole lot of emphasis and importance, because when you see a Rastafari with dreadlocks, what he is saying is that if you know the history of Israel and the tribes of Israel, Judah's symbol was a lion. So they identified with the lion's mane with the dreadlocks. Matter of fact, they say that Samson was a Rastafari in his original form and the Nazarite vow because he had seven locks in his hair.
Okay.
Even Absalom with his thick hair, he was dreadlocks. They say it was dreadlocks. So they give all kinds of honors to that. Well, on that day, November 2nd, 1930, was the beginning. They call that Groundation Day, was the day that they still recognize and celebrate on as the day that was the birth of the movement, because the fulfillment of prophecy has happened.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. What are some of the practices of the group?
Well, we know probably most popular is the smoking of ganja.
Right.
Okay. And ganja is, we call it marijuana. They take great skill in using what they consider to be the best or the finest. The whole idea of smoking of ganja is, in their mind, something that's fulfilled the scripture. Psalm 104, Psalm 68, so on and so forth, where the scripture talks about herb for man, and that's what ganja means. And they smoke it because it's supposed to enlighten the mind, give you another sense of an opening to spiritual reality. So smoking a ganja, and then it's a very big part of that, their belief is to discuss social political issues as it relates to blacks and Africa, and how the fulfillment of scripture and prophecy and the worship of Haile Selassie is going to one day culminate into that, where he's going to come back and it's going to be Judgment Day. And all those who have been living like they should and righteously and maintaining their position are going to be treated one way, and then there will be some type of judgment for others.
How does the African-American fit into this? I mean, is this mostly a Jamaican thing?
Well, it is probably, I would say, that the majority, the vast majority of Rastafari are from Jamaica or the neighboring Caribbean islands, like Trinidad and Tobago and so, that sort of thing. It is does have some roots, a lot in New York and some in Chicago, but still, the main thrust is in the Jamaican Caribbean area. A lot of people know about it strictly because of the music of Bob Marley. Bob Marley was the best thing to happen to Rastafari.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And Bob Marley's wife, as a matter of fact, became Rastafari in 1966 when she heard or saw Haile Selassie when he first came to Jamaica.
Okay. Okay.
So that's kind of like the history of it. The guy has a strong foundation. Matter of fact, I think it was 1997, the UN gave it consulting honors. It's not a country, but it has a world view that can influence others. So the UN even recognizes it.
Wow. One of the things I like to do, because people always talk about all religions being the same, is that I like to talk about the specifics so that people can actually see the differences. So I'm going to talk about some of the important doctrines of Christianity,
sure.
And I want to mention them to you, mm-hmm. and so you can compare and contrast.
Sure.
Like the view of God. Compare and contrast the view of God for a Christian and a Rastafarian. Rastafari.
Okay, now let's clear that up.
Okay.
Rastafari would not be very happy if we call them Rastafarians, because they believe the Rastafari that's the coronation name of Haile Selassie. To give them that Rastafarian kind of view is to give them, they say that word doesn't exist. Okay, Rasta meaning head and Farai meaning high priest or head of state. And the I means that he was first. And so everybody relates to him and give honor to him by having that Rastafari. So it's used Roman numeral one to relate that. So it's really not honoring to them to call them Rastafarians.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to try to remember that.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay.
Okay. In their view of God, basically, they have a very high respect for what we know to be the Bible, especially the King James Version. They understand the Genesis account. They are very, very clear and loyal to the whole Abrahamic Semitic line, of course, because they believe that's where black people, the tribes are representative of the blacks. So the first book of the Bible, Genesis, is extremely important to them. Now, they will say that parts of the Bible have been misinterpreted, and that what we have, our 66 books, is only half the Bible.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because they said there's parts of the Bible that have been taken away and have not been included like it should, things that have been hidden, most of them to keep black people oppressed and that sort of thing. So there is another Bible, other half of the Bible, but it's in every person's heart. And it takes the worship and the following of the teachings of Haile Selassie to have those things, and of course smoking of ganja, to let those things come out and learn.
What about their view of man? The origin of sin, the spiritual condition?
They do have a very high sense of morality. They are very keen on certain issues that other people would find be more tolerant of. There is a sect of the Rastafari that do not in any way condone homosexuality. There are some that are more open-ended. But they do see a lot of moral issues. They believe that men should be strong fathers and family men and that sort of thing. They have a view of wrong in its sense, brother to brother kind of thing. Don't violate the person because that's an offense to God in that way. They do view the scripture basics tenets that we would know to be what we would call issues of holiness, they would call issues of morality, sin.
What about Jesus?
Now that's interesting. In that they do believe that Jesus Christ came to earth. They believe that that he was deity. However, they believe that he came back to earth as Haile Selassie. And they believe that he is the Messiah, even though, like I said before, he never ascribed to that. He, as a matter of fact, he vehemently denied that he was the Son of God.
So they actually do believe that Jesus was God.
They do. They have to give him divine honors because they give that to Haile Selassie.
What do they think about, so they believe in the crucifixion and the resurrection and all that type of stuff?
They believe in the crucifixion. They believe the Bible accounts of the resurrection. However, they do believe that there are parts of the Bible in that whole scenario that were left out or that were ignored or were purposely hidden. And that kind of thing. They do believe that Jesus was black, of course, because he was from the line of Judah.
So do they believe that Jesus died for our sins?
They believe that Jesus Christ was the Savior of the world. They believe that Jesus Christ, when you talk about the whole sin issue, it gets a little muddy. Now, the reason is because they're not a unified belief. You couldn't really, different from, say, the Nation of Islam or any other Afrocentric kind of religion, you could not pin them down and get a statement of faith. Okay. That's why I wouldn't readily call them a religion, because it's more, they don't really believe like we do about eternal judgment. They believe not in everlasting life, but everlife. Now, everlife in their mind is that there are some chosen people who, I guess Haile Selassie will choose, who will live in their physical bodies forever and never die. They don't believe in an afterlife, after physical life, a spiritual life that will go on forever. They don't believe in that.
So explain that one more time. You said that there are certain people who will live in their bodies.
Live in their present physical bodies,
right,
forever.
And what happens to everyone else?
Those people, and a lot of them will be people outside the faith of Rastafari, who will just die. They will not have an eternal existence. That's kind of like their fate for not being the faithful or the followers.
And so it's basically annihilation? They cease to exist?
Yeah, I guess that's a way of putting it. Now, again, we got to be careful because Rastafari goes two routes. One does have a sort of loose bedrock, gravel bedrock, in Judeo-Christian value and understanding. Other side of it has a Hindu pantheistic worldview. So you have to be careful which side you're talking about, because there is a teaching in Rastafari, among some Rastafari, that believe that God is man and man is God. And you know that's strict pantheism. Right. So you have to be careful which side you're dealing with. And it can be, some of the basis of that can be some influences, other world influences that made their way into the Jamaican culture.
So did Adam lead us into original sin from which we must be saved?
Yes. Well, Adam did lead us into original sin. And yes, it needs to be dealt with, but Haile Selassie will bring all that into his rule. How to deal with that is his plan and his concept.
So when did he die?
He died in 1975. Now, they say that he really didn't die. He went to a plane of existence. Now, this is some. Some believe that he went to a plane of existence, and he is waiting for the right time to come back. And then that's going to be Judgment Day, and he's going to culminate everything back to an Afrocentric, because they believe that Africa is the Mother Earth. It is the place where everything should be ruled and reigned from, especially Ethiopia. And when he comes back, that's when all those things will be culminated, and he'll rule and reign. Now, then there's others who believe that he did die, but he was resurrected, and that he's going to come back. Some believe he didn't die, went to another plane of existence. Others believe he did die, and he's just going to come back, like in the manner he did as Jesus Christ.
Do you have to be a
Rastafari?
Rastafari in order to achieve this eternal life thing?
Everlife.
Everlife thing?
Yes.
So it's an exclusive religion?
It's exclusive, and there is... I guess a certain group of people who are the faithful that we call Rastafari, but there are still people who are sympathetic to it, and still people who gravitate toward it by the smoking of ganja and the dreadlocks, who are not, I would say, the true faithful. But the ones who really believe and who really adhere to the teaching would be that number that's going to have ever life.
You and I, as Christians, we would just be lost.
Yes, basically.
Is their view of Christians?
Their view of Christians are we misguided because we don't have a fullness of the truth, because we're only using half the Bible and not seeking the other half. So as a result of that, we can't know the full truth. We therefore cannot honor the full truth. We cannot honor the full truth. We cannot worship Haile Selassie for who he is and what his value is to us.
What is their view of white people?
They believe that white people, Haile Selassie said and was very clear, that there is that discrimination Because at one time there was a you could see the beginning seeds of a bitterness toward white people. Because you have to remember, when this all started, black people were disenfranchised. We were second class, even third class citizens. So there's a lot of people who were looking at this their moment to get revenge or to get a more powerful political worldview, with Haile Selassie saying that any discrimination is wrong and sinful. That fraction kind of died right away. So there's a view of whites, but the view of whites is not that they were inferior, they're just not part of the 12 tribes.
Which
they're not Jews.
Which brings me to an interesting question, because then if the black people basically are Rastas.
Right. Well, they're the tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel, yeah.
Right. So then it seems to indicate that only black people will be saved.
Only black people will enjoy that kingdom that Haile Selassie is going to bring in the earth, okay? And I guess that even among us blacks, those of us who did not follow completely will not have the status of those who did. I think that the whole mindset, if you were to look at it and get a consensus, not there's nothing hard and fast again, mm-hmm. but if you got a consensus, basically you'd have most of Rastafari saying that Haile Selassie is really trying to get all the 12 tribes together. That means all the black people.
Okay.
That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get them all back in Africa, and that's going to be his kingdom reign.
Now, how do they support the blacks being the 12 tribes of Africa? How do they support that?
Because they believe that Solomon, when he was visited by Queen Sheba, which is interesting, scripture says that he sent her back and had given her all of so much treasure out of his kingdom, and they interpret that treasure out of his kingdom was he impregnated her.
Okay.
And she took this child back, and this child that she took back to Ethiopia began to be the race that produced, and that child was the beginning of the 12 tribes of Israel. And that 12 tribes of Israel flourished in Africa, and so on and so forth. So
is there anything to back that up? I mean, what do they use in order to substantiate that?
Well, they use the scripture. And here's one of the major problems with Rastafari, is that it uses scripture when it wants to, in the way that it wants to. And it's one of the more, unfortunately, one of the sadder cases of taking scripture out of context.
Yeah.
And they just choose what they want when they want to use it.
Okay, so could you evaluate Rastafarianism as a whole?
Rastafarianism, I believe, is a teaching and a philosophy, and this is my opinion only, and it's not a religion. A religion usually has a set of core values that are easily spelled out, a certain policies of adherence that its followers can point to and say, okay, this is exactly what I need to know. This is how I should act. This is how I should live. This is how I should worship. Such things like that are not written out. It's supposed to be a pursuit of truth and a search for truth that you'll discover on your own how to live. That means that it's basically left up to my interpretation. And leaving, and there's really only one or two documents that have even been penned to say what Rastafari believe and how they should act. And they're not widely spread or known. You almost have to be in the know to get to them. But even in all of that, because there is no hard and fast doctrine, it's very hard to be what I would say a pure Rastafari. Because like I said, you can go either the Hindu aspect of it or the Judeo-Christian kind of value of it. So your view of God, your view of Christ, your view of Haile Selassie, did he die, did he resurrect, all those sort of things are kind of nebulous because there's no hard and fast. What we call the Bible is our infallible source. It is, no matter how much you want to interpret it wrong or right,
right,
you have some place you can turn and look. Not so with the Rastafari.
How would you recommend we reach them for Christ?
On an individual basis. One of the things that you have to do, if you are just one of those people who walk up to a Rastafari who knows his stuff, he's going to literally just talk you to death. He's just going to talk.
Talk about what? Just
about social issues, the Africa, the history, so on and so forth, when the real issue is not us having an intellectual discussion, but the salvation of your soul. So at that point, every common point that every person who needs to be saved, we need to reach is their soul. What's going on with your soul? And all the teachings of whoever Rastafari believe in does not address the issue of peace, of purpose, divine intent for your life, dealing with the issue of sin, how you can change. The four great questions. How did it all begin? Why am I the way I am? How do I change? What happens when I die? If you approach those a Rastafari with those four questions and get him not to contradict and hold him to that, you'll find that he doesn't have a solid answer. And that's the basis of witnessing for them.
Can a Rastafari, I know I'm messing this up, Rastafari, can he know that he's saved? Or that he will achieve this afterlife thing?
Usually they will say that he's in pursuit or she's in pursuit of the truth.
But can they know, like for instance, I can know that I'm saved, that I will.
They can say that they know they call it the way. They can say, I know I'm in the way. And that's the best you're going to get for them.
But they can't say that, okay, so there's no way of knowing who's going to go on and who's not going to go on.
No, they can only trust that. Now they'll say they knew, but you cannot get them to lock down and tell me, all right, well, tell me the process. How did you get there? How did you arrive? And then usually I don't know how many people I've talked to on this issue, well, they'll all start on this long diatribe that is never cohesive. And I just ask them, give me a 1 through 10. And they never can make it. I have talked to people in Jamaica who are supposed to be the most enlightened ones. They can't give me a 1 through 10 on how do I get there? How do I arrive? How do I make it? How do I get to this point where you're saying I need to be where I'm finally at the truth? And then they say, well, you'll just know. Well, okay, well, how will I know that I know?
Right.
They can't do that.
So Dwight, how can people contact you?
You can contact me 1 of 3 ways. You can call me, you can check me on the web, challenge-ministries.org. That explains our ministry and what we're doing. You can contact me also by just picking up a phone and dialing our number. That's we're internationally known, so you can just ask for us by any operator. Or you can email me at DEK1CHALL, CHALL at AOL.com.
Okay, Dwight Knight, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. Talking with me
about Rastafarianism. That will end this episode of Giving an Answer. Be sure to join me again next time. And until then, goodbye and God bless.
Gotta let him know.